Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Digital maps are a powerful means for knowledge development, decision-making, scientific dissemination, and information sharing to, from, experts and citizens. Open data, big data, and citizen science allow observing, monitoring, and understanding natural and anthropic processes through a new lens. Smartphones, drones, webcams, among the many low-cost technologies available to date, provide new data and unveil perspectives that did not exist before. Story maps, geospatial and location intelligence, and web-based interfaces empower data visualization tools in a dynamic geospatial context to provide increasingly efficient infographics and statistics on several multidisciplinary topics. These include, but are not limited to, urban and environmental sustainability. A geojournalist is a relatively innovative branch of journalism that focuses on earth science for modern storytelling. These are professionals who are particularly interested in understanding the water, food, energy, and environment nexus, and are able to analyze open geospatial data with the use of state-of-the-art technologies to create stories and blogs. Can citizen science play a major role in the rise of geojournalism and communication? Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More podcast. My name is Rossella Biagi. Thank you for being with us today. Here we are in beautiful Perugia, Italy, as usual. Let me introduce you our loyal speaker from Mexico, Francisco Peña.
Hello, Rossella, Radiofonica and friends around the world. I'm very happy to be with you today. I want to share with you the outcomes of the third detail mapping course, Water, Food, Energy and Environment Nexus, on November 21st by the Water Resources Research and Documentation Center, the WaterDoc.
Go ahead, the mic is yours.
Basically, the initiative started in 2016 with the goal to create digital maps of the 51 Italian UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
I got an idea!
The maps display the history, culture and natural resources of the cities and territory. In addition, the maps show the heritage assets, such as monuments, piazzas, frescoes, or architecture at risk as a result of neglect, decay, or inappropriate human behavior.
In other words, the map displays the beauty and the risks of sites, right?
That's exactly right. The course was tailored for young students, graduates, and professionals from all backgrounds interested to learn the potential of digital maps. In addition to mapping the beauty and the risk, the social media component was integrated to learn more about the human experience through extracting and filtering social network posts from Flickr, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. This is the citizen science component. I will talk about it later.
Okay.
Last year, the topic selected for the second course was detail mapping and active citizenship, was to develop maps for multidisciplinary applications with specific regard to professional sectors of communication, marketing, international relations and cooperation, water, land management, I mean all kinds of disciplines. This third edition was for topics related to the water, food, energy and environment nexus. It is a very relevant topic today.
What is the definition of water, food, energy and environment nexus?
The water, food, energy and environment nexus are central to sustainable development. Considering that the global water demand, population growth and associated flood and energy needs are expected to drastically increase in the next 30 years, these key facts are becoming a matter of national security worldwide. Societal challenges linked to critical water, food, energy and water environmental demands require public and private organizations to promptly plan and develop actions. Therefore, data-driven decision-making is needed to inform risk mitigation planning and development from the short to the long term. And this is done with big open data.
And what was the duration of the course?
Only one day.
One day? Really?
Yes, an introductory presentation and three tutorials were explained to give the participants a better idea about the topic. A total of 37 participants, from beginners to advanced users, were able to create their own story maps in approximately 5 hours.
That's impressive!
Let me tell you that the WaterDoc website contains a dedicated page with all the information about the event, the participant projects, guidelines and tutorials. It is definitely worth it to have a look.
One of the things that I enjoy the most about story maps is the creative way on how the information can be presented. I work closely with journalists in charge of the press review in Italian, is better known as Rassegna Stampa, and sometimes I wish they could include the mapping component or more clever ways to include infographics into their articles. I understand that it's not an easy task and can be time-consuming, but I believe readers appreciate this type of effort in articles related to global migration, environmental disasters, and sustainability.
That will be nice, but I think the focus of story maps is more on websites. If you are interested, I encourage you to have a look at the following. Geojournalism.org is full of geographic data resources and material for people interested in data visualization. The Twitter account Geojournalism publishes great content and examples on digital maps, using satellite imagery and information on the use of different GeoWeb tools. And, of course, Esri Story Maps. Take a look at episode 15 to learn more.
Excellent! Now it's time to go listen to My Voice 120. We will be back very soon with Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and more.
Hello everyone, my name is Marcello Rosio, I'm Italian, I'm a civil protection volunteer, and over the past 5 years I worked in disaster risk reduction project. Currently, I'm a researcher at the US University in Pavia, and a couple of weeks ago I submitted my PhD thesis in understanding and managing extremes. Before the research experience, I've been the privilege to be a specialist on climate change adaptation and disaster risk reduction with the United Nations in Vietnam and a researcher in Thailand as an engineering risk assessment on extreme weather related to climate change. At USE, I'm exploring a new perspective to analyze and to assess the disaster risk based on a graph theory, the mathematical branch for a treatment of networks. In the contemporary complex socio-technological society, I strongly believe that it is not possible to neglect the connection between elements exposed to a hazard, and this complex relation calls for a paradigm shift from a reduction to a holistic approach in a collective risk assessment. A more holistic perspective will allow to understand the risk mechanisms and therefore assessing the disaster risk of the society as a whole. Regarding communication during my activities, I think there are three levels of challenges. First of all, transform the scientific term in a language that people commonly use and listen. The second is more related to the risk sector and is how to transform the concept of probability, uncertainty, and long-term thinking in an orderly life. And finally, the most important, to facilitate change of behavior in order to invite people to put in place good practice in order to reduce each individual risk. As a researcher, I would like to invite all the risk community to invest more effort on a holistic approach to assess and manage the risk of a disaster. As a volunteer and citizen, I strongly invite everyone to be proactive. For more information, you can contact me at marcello.arosio@uspavia.it. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back with Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. According to Marcello, effective science communication is necessary when managing an emergency. In your opinion, should scientists improve their communication skills to the general public?
I believe so. Investments on public awareness and public education are important, but overall, risk communication must be clear, coherent, and simple.
Next topic in turn is citizen science. In short, what is citizen science for you?
That's a really good question, Rosella. I will say citizen science is the engagement of anybody, not necessarily scientists, in data production, collection, analysis, or monitoring through the use of technology for a scientific goal. Let's see it this way. In one hand, scientists need data for research purposes. On the other hand, humans are technically living sensors that continuously produce data. The production of datasets is usually time-consuming and frequently involves all kinds of resources. So the idea is to speed up the process by allowing volunteers that require little or no training at all to participate in the data-related processes to generate new knowledge or understanding.
The partnership of citizens and scientists seems to me a great idea. Everybody counts and have a meaningful role in the project.
That's correct. Teamwork is essential to make a real difference.
And what are the most important citizen science communities?
Well, in number 5, we have eBird, a bird watcher community that gathers bird data such as distribution, abundance, or habitat in an easy and scientific way. Multimedia content like pictures or audio recordings can also be attached in the report.
Fascinating.
NASA GLOVE is number 4. This is a worldwide community that focuses on Earth observations, including cloud types, soil moisture, mosquito habitat, or solar eclipses. Number 3 is Open Air Labs, better known as OPAL. It is an open initiative from the United Kingdom that develops activities and material to raise local environmental awareness.
Good, and what's next?
iNaturalist is ranked number 2 with approximately a million users. Volunteers record observations about biodiversity, meaning all kinds of plants and animals. The information is shared with the expert group and then all discuss the findings.
This means that anybody can become an explorer.
I believe so. You can either join an existing project or start a new one from scratch.
And number 1?
Zooniverse is the world's largest citizen science community with about 1.7 million users. Just like iNaturalist, you can join all kinds of projects, from rainforest flowers to understand the complexity of solar storms or locating galaxy clusters.
That's impressive, but is it reliable? I mean, what if people use it for banter or to do it in the wrong way? Will this have a negative impact on the outcome?
For the scientists, this is still an area of concern. Some studies have found that volunteer data has the tendency of having more variations than professionally collected data. Further investigations should be made in this field to improve citizen science data accuracy.
Is there a connection between the rise of citizen science and geojournalism?
I'm not sure. I believe geojournalism is for journalists that share both passions, reporting news and working with data. On the other hand, I think there is a strong correlation between the rise of citizen science and communication, as people want to raise their voice to tackle fake news or covert news that are not published on media because of politics, business, or money. But that's another story. Citizen science and crowdsourced data have the potential to help urban resilience against floods, solve conservation problems, expand our understanding about Earth, wildlife, nature, and more. Much more.
So, in today's show, we talked about the water, food, energy, and environment nexus, digital maps, geojournalism, and citizen science. Stay tuned for the last show of the year because we have a surprise for you. Coming all the way from Colorado, Professor Tom Check will share with us his experience on the topic of water resources in modern and early civilization, the importance of aqueducts worldwide, water law, and water rights in Colorado.
Don't forget to have a look at our social media platforms in Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram as WaterDoc or Francisco Febronio Peña. And remember, active citizens,
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Febronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.